This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. A winner today, Alaskan native Dallas Seavey crossed the finish line in Nome, Alaska, to win the last great race on Earth this morning. First place for the second consecutive year in the 1,000-mile Iditarod Trail sled dog race. It's the third time Seavey has won the race, beating his father this time. About 70 mushers participated in the race, and aside from the honor, the winner gets $70,000, a new pickup truck. It's the largest prize in the history of the Iditarod, and the event takes about 10 days, years of training, a strong team of dogs, of course. Myron Engstrom knows what it takes. He competed in the race back in 1979. Are you still sore from that race, Myron?
Well, I'm sore enough that I don't do it anymore. I'm sort of sore in the head, I suppose.
Tell me about Seavey and the race this year. How is the snow? How is the ice?
Well, the snow statewide has been very bad this year, so the race had to be moved from the normal start in the Anchorage area, the town of Willow, to Fairbanks, where winter is a little colder generally, and they had a little bit of snow. But then once the race started, they had good snow all the way through. It was a little slow at times because they did have some fresh snow that wasn't hard packed. But the weather was very cold. The first several days of the race was 30, 40, and even up to 50 below zero. So there were some real real cold nights on the trail.
Does Seavey have a special talent, a secret weapon, or is he just really good at this?
Well, I mean, he certainly started with a special talent, which was his grandfather raced in the first Iditarod in the early 70s. His dad raced and won the Iditarod, and now he has won it three times. So his first special talent was he grew up on a dog sled, and he had the ability to learn from people who knew it from the start, and he picked it up well, obviously.
And what about the dogs? Are they pretty much across the board similar, or are there changes to the dog mix?
Well, he certainly started with a group of dogs that were right out of his family's breed line, which had been, let's say, worked on and perfected over the years. And those dogs look and act quite a bit different than they did at the start of the race in the 70s. They are trial and error has worked wonders with the dog breeding field, because when we started all this, it was kind of just picking up a dog here and there, and gradually you learn which ones do best, and pretty soon those ones that do best make babies, and you have a lot of them that do best. And that really has been the transformation of dog racing. The breed today is quite a bit better and quite a bit different than the breed we started with.
Myron, how did the women do this time around?
Well, it looks like the women have done quite well. First of all, there were a large number of women in the field, and a third of the mushers were women. And it looks like we're going to have a fourth place and a fifth place woman, and it looks like that'll be all in the top 10. But it's a very unique sport in that the participation of men and women is equal in terms of their ability to take part. There are even some that would suggest that the women have an advantage because most of them are smaller than most of the men, and the weight that the dogs have to pull is somewhat of a factor.
And the dogs certainly appreciate that. Before we go, last few seconds, Myron, do you miss it?
Well, I certainly do. I still race. I don't take part in the Iditarod anymore, but I follow it so closely that I might as well be on the trail. Nowadays, you can follow racers with their trackers, which tell you where they are and how fast they're going.
Myron Engstman competed in the Iditarod back in 1979. Nasty dogs.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.